It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always on a Sunday night during the Big Brother OTT season, I'm here with you to discuss what is going down in the Big Brother house with the live feed correspondents. First on the panel for tonight is a man whose bio on robhiswebsite.com says that he has he was the child of renegade sewer mutants who swore vengeance on the surface world. It's Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jordan. Yeah, I actually uploaded that a while ago when I first got access to that, to the page. That is a bio from my old blog that I started when I was in high school, which, like, you know, the more ridiculous, the better. I just tried to be like absolutely over the top with that. And it led me here. So what do you know?
Yeah. That bio is very OTT. I saw that it just showed up on the show page for this episode. And I saw that and I was like, oh, this is weird. Alex Kidwell's bio. Let me read this. And it said that. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it was, it was before those commercials. I was trying to make myself the world's most interesting man. But obviously that didn't work out too well.
Hey, you tried. And you know what? The world's most interesting man, I think they replaced that guy. And you know who they haven't replaced? Alex Kidwell. So there you go. You got the last laugh, brother. All right. Next on the panel is a man who used to exclusively drink Propel, just like Sister Alex. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I no longer exclusively drink Propel. It was a dark time in my youth. I'm now strictly water, and just like water, I think that we should make this podcast heart-shaped and wonderful.
All right. Wow. That's who said that? Was that Chrissy in the house? What happened with the heart-shaped thing? Well, we'll get into that, I guess, in the questioning. I saw that on Twitter. I was very confused. Okay. And last but not least on the panel, certainly not least, is a man whose favorite player in the history of North American Big Brother just won sequester. It's Brent Walkman, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Yes. My girl, Suzette. You better work, bitch. That's spoilers. What I'm talking about.
And yes, for the uninitiated, Suzette from Big Brother Canada 1 was the winner of Sequester Season 5. So Audrey Middleton's online web show. So congrats to Suzette on the big win. So there you go,
yes,
Brent.
It's amazing, showing that if you don't actually have to live with people, then you may actually have a chance to win the game. Oh, sorry. Hi. Love you, Suzette. Shade.
Suzette, I love Suzette.
I love Suzette too.
Suzette's so nice.
Fine. She's won sequester. Who cares?
Suzette is a very nice lady. Okay, let's set things up for you guys. So we're live on robinswebsite.com. We got the chat room going on robinswebsite.com. If you want to check that chat room out, you can go to the show page or go to chatwing.com/happyhour and chat with some other listeners of the show. And a public service announcement for you guys. This is the last Happy Hour show until our live show in New York on Tuesday. There are still tickets available if you want to purchase those. You can go to robhiswebsite.com/BBOTTLive and get your tickets there. It's at the Broadway Comedy Club. Show starts at 6:30. I believe the doors open at 6. So we're all going to be there. Some Big Brother people are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in the New York area, definitely come check it out. Tickets are only $10. Okay, guys, let's jump into what is going down in the house right now. Taryn Armstrong, what is really happening in terms of the nominations? Where is Chrissy leaning with things?
She really has been up in the air for a while. And, you know, it's hard to pin down exactly what she's going to do because none of her allies really want to ask her what she's going to do after the meltdown she had a few nights ago. So it's not entirely clear. We are pretty sure that she's going to put up Scott and probably either Shelby or Whitney, and then potentially Morgan, but it's looking probably more like Shelby or Whitney at this point. But it does look like Scott is definitely going to go on the block.
Alex, what do you think the smarter move is for Chrissy, putting up in terms of, I guess she's targeting Scott, so Whitney or Shelby would be a pawn. So if you're in her, if just looking at it from an outsider's perspective, what should she do in terms of those two?
Well, what should she do is not target Scott, because the four girls are so much closer than Scott. In fact, they can't really believe that she's doing that. Like, it's such a bad move for her that they're doubting whether or not it's legit, which I think speaks volumes. The fact that she's like being so upfront and honest, telling everyone the same thing, and they still don't believe she's going to do that, because it quite honestly isn't in her best interest. The girls know they're tighter than, you know, Scott is the end that can easily be snipped and keep the unit, the core strong. So that's her misstep, really, is not trying to just break up, you know, the girls, which happens to include a pair of sisters, which she doesn't know. But, you know, if she did, I think she'd take that shot.
Brent, you were not on the Friday show, so we didn't get your perspective on what Chrissy is doing so far. What do you think about Chrissy's HOH to start this week?
I think it's pretty awful. And I don't say that because, you know, I generally dislike Chrissy. But she has been all over the place in terms of what she wants to do. She's managed to alienate not only the other side of the house by not making any of them feel safe, but also alienate her own allies by making them feel like they can't approach her with plans that they have. Now, was Neely being a little bit bossy with, you know, the minute Chrissy walked in the room and Neely said, okay, boo-boo, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. This is what we should do, blah, 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 blah. Maybe, but Chrissy has to realize that, look, I got to be the bigger person here. I'm the one who won HOH. Ultimately, it's my decision anyway. And she completely approached them in the wrong way. Actually, I won't even say she approached them. She just blew up at them in the wrong way. And it was, you know, so far, if you look at Scott's HOH week and you look at Chrissy's HOH week, they can't be compared.
No, I mean, it's funny. It's the two opposite sides of the house, and one is doing completely opposite of the other. All hail the Virgin King. Still loving Scott. I don't know if you guys saw the recap on Friday, but him falling down on that balance thing. I don't know what even is that, Taryn?
It's a slack line.
Oh, is that actually a slack line? But it's like it's not that long. Like, and it's also
Yeah, it's like a mini slack line, I guess.
And weren't they given that before the HOH to like weren't they under the impression that that had something to do with HOH?
Well, it's been there, I think, from the start of the game. It's
okay.
Been
that there. I haven't seen it before.
Been practicing on it.
He likes to walk it, yeah.
And so he's hoping that it will someday be in a competition, because he's gotten much better at it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, he looked like he was doing good until he fell flat on his face.
I want to say really quickly, if just to make a quick point, but since we're talking about Scott, he has done himself a bit of a disservice this week, though, I really do feel like, and it's important that we talk about it, because his loyalty to Alex is mind-bogglingly unwavering, to the point where it's endangering his game, because the other side, the Misfits, believe that, especially Jason and Justin, believe that, you know, we don't really want to get rid of Scott. In fact, Justin really doesn't want to get rid of Scott. But the one pro to getting rid of Scott is that if we get rid of Scott, then Alex will be willing to work with us. Okay. They're certain of that, because right now they're just entirely too tight, and Scott's making it look like they're so tight. And the thing is, it's such a one-sided relationship, because Scott is really, really loyal to Alex. And the other thing about Scott is he totally tells the truth. Like, he told Chrissy, look, honey, you know, I know you won HOH this week. You're all mad at me, but just know that I'm not coming for you. You're not a target of mine. I don't see you as athletic. I don't think you're going to win anything. And he was totally telling her the truth. But of course, Chrissy doesn't buy any of that. You know, like, he couldn't possibly be telling the truth. He must be coming after me. So a variety of reasons, his inability to lie. All right, I would say it's his inability to lie. His need to be completely honest all the time, and his unwavering loyalty to Alex is endangering his game more than anything this week.
Yeah, why do you think he is so loyal to Alex, Taryn? Like, what is there any, like, do you think there's something to do with the super fan going into the house and really wanting that dominant two-person alliance? Do you think that has to do with it?
It's really kind of difficult to tell. You know, a lot of people are just saying, oh, he's in love with her, stuff like that. Like, oh, it's a pretty girl that's giving him attention. I'm sure that's part of it. But I think it also stemmed from the fact that when Alex was HOH week two, he recognized that it was his mistake that ended up screwing her over with America. Like, if he hadn't voted out Cornbread, they would have had the numbers to overcome America's influence, and she wouldn't have been nearly as screwed as she was. And he felt very guilty about that, and he feels like he needs to make it up somehow. However, he has said that he thinks that she's somebody he couldn't beat in the end, whereas Shelby is somebody that he could beat in the end. So I think he's definitely loyal to a fault right now. If he made it to the end, I think he's still probably willing to cut Alex to win the game.
You mean the ends? The final two? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh. Right. Yeah. In the final four, where he's not able to take her out, actually, because it's not as cool.
All right. Let's talk about America's nominee, guys. Alex Kidwell. Has Chrissy been preparing for America's nominee? And if so, who does she think it's going to be?
No, I mean, not really. I'm sure she assumes it's going to be someone from the other side, and that's as far as she's thought it through. But of course, like, the way, you know, we have to assume that the way she's handled everything so far psychologically is that she's kind of like rationalized it after the fact. So if it is in fact Neely that goes up there, you know, her and Neely did just have a fight the other day, so it'll be very easy for her to do that spin in her head and just say like, oh man, Neely, I really wish you hadn't, you know, come at me and fought with me like that, because that really created such an unfortunate situation for us here.
Yeah, and you know, she does think that Scott is probably the most likely person to get nominated by America. Yeah. So in preparation for that, she wants to nominate Scott first.
Of course.
Which is brilliant. Actually, I mean, not. Just not. Kidding. Like, that's terrible. Like, they're convinced that Scott's going to be nominated by America. Why in the world would you want to take that away from us? Number one, it denies us the opportunity to nominate Scott. And by the way, Scott wouldn't be nominated anyway, I don't believe. But if you believe that, go ahead with that. And number two, if you take Scott and put him on the block, then who knows who the hell ends up in America's spot?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the thinking is, Brent, you're right. I mean, I don't think they are correct in thinking that Scott is going to go on the block by America, but the logic is flawed. It's flawed. Like, why would you do that, Chrissy? It just doesn't. If you think he's going up anyway, then don't put him up. And then, you know, that, because otherwise, yeah, like you said, we could see Neely go up. And Brent, what do you think about that? Who do you think America is going to put up? Because you put this plan into motion on Wednesday night.
Yes,
we put Neely on the block. Do you think that's going to come true?
I do. I realize I have an immense amount of power, to the point where people, like the cat ladies on Jokers, like, and I don't mean me necessarily. I mean like us, like collectively. Like,
okay. Okay, like, good. Cause I had someone tweet me and ask to ask you why you have so much HOH-itis, Brent.
Well, I mean, I don't. And
I am a god among men.
I don't know this for a fact, but I just know a lot of people have been pissed at, like, saying, you know, rap is controlling everything, and rap is doing this, and rap is doing that. It's a minority of people, let me just say, a minority of people. So I'm not paying any attention to them. But I do believe that this plan, I don't know, Taryn, I saw you also tweeted out the whole Neely being nominated as America's nominee thing. Did you do that after you saw me say it, or did we simultaneously come up with the same thing at the same time?
I think it was while you were podcasting, because people were like, why aren't you on the podcast?
Okay, like, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know, right? There's only so much room, people. Anyway, so I was working out in my head, okay, what can we do to save Alex and Scott here? Because that's been, for people, just so that you guys understand, I do not have anything against Neely, although I don't think she's bringing anything necessarily to the show or to the feeds as a whole. I'm trying to save Alex and Scott. Everybody else can go the way of the dinosaur. I really don't care. But the fact that Chrissy so adamantly wants to target Scott this week, now that Alex is safe, leads me to believe that Neely is going to be nominated by America. And they got a warning shot about that because the have-nots were announced earlier this week. And Neely and Jason and Scott were nominated as have-nots by America. So I think that they were definitely – I know Jason was surprised to be nominated by America. And he's saying to the house guests he didn't want to be, or that he didn't mind being a have not, but he definitely minded being a have not. And Neely, I know, was definitely surprised too.
Yeah, now, speaking of that, Brent, we've got a question from a friend of the show, Edward Morris. And you can get your questions in for the Rahappy Hour by tweeting me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Rahappy Hour. And we will be getting into those throughout the show. Edmo asks, how is Jason interpreting America putting him on slop? Taryn, where's Jason's head at? Is he starting to think, oh, maybe I'm working with the wrong people? Is he looking into this, or is he kind of just continuing to do his own thing?
he's definitely examining it, and he's definitely not happy about it. You can tell that it's kind of getting to him. He's good at this game in the sense that, like, he understands, like, what he needs to do to alter perception. So he hasn't, like, really lashed out, but you can see moments where he's just, the frustration is getting to him, especially the fact that he was put in that position. And I think especially the fact that his main ally, Justin, was not, which tells him he can't go to the end with Justin probably. So it really puts a big wrench in a lot of his plans. He has been thinking, like, is this because I was trying to work with the other side? Am I playing both sides? Is that what's wrong with me? But Justin was doing that too. I don't understand. He's trying to figure it out, but it's very difficult, I imagine.
Okay, so interesting. Yeah, that's tough for Jason. I mean, you have no idea what's going on, and he probably thinks, going into this week, probably thought, okay, I've got all America supporting me, and seeing that happen, he's probably thinking, this ain't so good. So,
well, come on, look, let's talk about, this is a good point to talk about this then. So look at that, okay, the way Jason is acting, yes. What, trying to figure out what's going on, you know, lamenting the fact that he's a have-not, and, you know, what could that mean for his long-term game. Combine that with Shelby, who blew me away in the diary room when she said that she wouldn't mind being a have-not again when talking, you know, privately to America, because she thinks it makes her look weaker, and that she thinks that it's more likely that the other house guests will want to take her to the end. I haven't heard maybe three strategic words come out of this girl's mouth the entire time. And when she said that in the diary room, I was blown away, and I shouldn't be. Because, you know, you think that should seem obvious to everybody that's what you want to do. You know, contrast that with Justin running around like a crazy man every time that have-nots are announced, and he's not one of them. Just bringing more attention to the fact that he's liked by America. Shelby, on the other hand, wants to be a little disliked by America, and she doesn't mind being a have-not. I was really cool with that.
Yeah, my estimation of Shelby's game has just been on the rise exponentially, because she has done such a great job of looking dumb. And she comes into the diary room and she says, like, guys, I know I said this word wrong. I misused it. I'm sorry. I did it on purpose. I'm not that stupid. I just have to convince these people that I am. And the thing about it is, usually you have to be wary of this kind of strategy, because if people think you're that dumb, they're not going to give you the money in the end. But the people that she's playing with aren't going to give her the money in the end. We're going to give her the money in the end. So she can degrade her image all she wants to the other house guests, as long as America knows what's happening and she's able to explain it, because she has these live diary rooms. I'm starting to think maybe this is a winning strategy for this kind of game.
She stumbled ass backwards into it, but she seems to have found.
So Alex Kidwell, then what's your take on this? Do you think Shelby is actually a smart player?
It's relative, and for this kind of a season, like, she's still her own worst enemy. Like, she's still, like, her biggest problem in the house is her own inability to get out of her own way, to not roll her eyes at people, to not, like, say little things that are misinterpreted or interpreted correctly and held against her later. But she is perceptive. She's much more perceptive than people are willing to give her credit for, and she recognizes her role in the house as kind of a pariah, which is, there's value in knowing where you stand. A lot of people aren't so lucky right now.
Brent, you wanted to talk about Justin a little bit. What about Justin did you want to touch upon?
Just the fact that he is starting to think more long-term strategically. He really wants to go, well, there are elements to his game right now that want to go against Chrissy and save Scott this week for a variety of reasons. Number one, he thinks Scott is more loyal to him. He thinks he would target Neely and Chrissy. That's cool. Number two, he's a boy and they're drastically short on boys. If Scott goes out, that'll be four boys in a row. And remember, coming into this season, they were already down 7-6 in terms of girls to boys. So if Scott goes out, then it'll just be Justin and Jason for the rest of the season. You know, Justin has to recognize that he is a athletic, good-looking, charismatic guy. You know, if he is by himself, they're going to come for him and come for him fast. So I actually don't really mind him trying to save Scott here. The great thing is that America is going to do his dirty work for him, I think. I do believe that America is going to nominate Neely. And if Neely's on the block on eviction night, I do believe that America will vote out Neely and save Scott, which will help out Justin. So if all those people out there that are mad at me that I'm anti-misfit and blah, 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 I'm not anti-misfit so much as I'm anti-boring feeds. And I also want to help out Justin, and Justin wants to keep Scott. So it's another reason to keep Scott in the house and vote out Neely.
And Taryn, we can't forget the biggest reason. The biggest reason Justin wants to turn on Neely, which is the witch hat that we mentioned on Friday, because she's super untrustworthy in that hat. He can't trust her at all.
Well, why does she keep it on? Why does she want to keep wearing it all the time?
I was watching the recap on Friday, and she had it on, and like I thought I was watching Hocus Pocus again. Like she literally, like, she could be in that movie. She suits the role. I mean, I don't know. Like she looks like she belongs in the hat. I'm just saying. So if I'm Justin and I believe in voodoo and I'm scared of all this stuff,
you should take into account where Justin is from. You know, there's a lot of mysticism in New Orleans culture, and you know, voodoo and witches and stuff like that. It's real to some people, and it's like real enough to be a superstition that you just don't want to mess with the others. So why would you even like play around like that? Take that off. Stop it.
So Taryn, just to clarify, does Justin actually believe that Neely is a witch, or he's just freaked out by the hat?
I mean, he's been pretty adamant about it. Like, he's like, seriously though, guys, I'm not joking. It really creeps me out. She needs to get rid of it. So
to the point where he's looking for the hat. Like, he's like, where's the hat? Yeah.
And I can confirm my polling currently indicates that Neely is ahead in the data for the potential nominee. She has 55% of the vote. Scott and Morgan are currently splitting the rest of the vote with 22% and 19%. I can assume that whoever is not on the block will eat up most of the other person's percentage, which would make it relatively close, but Neely would still be out ahead. And so far my polling has been correct every time. So it looks like Neely is potentially going to be going up on the block one day.
Yes, there you go.
Immediate future.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So hypothetically then, we're looking at Neely on the block from America. We are looking at Scott on the block from Chrissy. And let's just say Shelby is on the block as well from Chrissy. Because Alex, you mentioned that, I don't know if this was in the pre-show or earlier on the recording, that Shelby said, or sorry, that Chrissy went to Shelby and was like asking her to be a pawn or something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were talking about a little bit on the pre-show that it looks pretty clear right now Scott's going on the block with either Shelby or Whitney. Yesterday, Chrissy had a conversation with Whitney where she kind of hinted that Whitney might be used as a pawn today, which, you know, recency is always something to look at. You know, what people say most recently sometimes is more important than what they said a couple days ago, because mindsets change. So she had a conversation with Shelby, you know, today within the last few hours, that was hinting even more strongly at the idea of using her as a pawn. So because of that, it looks like it's leaning Scott and Shelby. It could easily be Scott and Whitney though.
And okay. I will say Morgan has also done a amicable job of making sure that she is not going to be nominated this week or targeted this week. Chrissy was saying that I can't remember exactly how she worded it to Neely, but basically, you know, we need to take Morgan at her word, and you know, she's fine this week. I don't know if she's exactly telling the truth or not, but you know, that's okay. So she's done a good enough job to keep herself safe. And by the way, I think I used that word wrong. I don't think amicable is the right word. I think it's adequate. Anyway, but, never mind.
Really good point about Morgan, though, because what happened is in the aftermath of kind of Chrissy and Neely fighting, Morgan, you know, was there to talk to Neely and kind of like somebody needs to be there for you when you just have a blow up with your friend, to kind of like help you get in the right headspace again and like just let you talk things through. And Morgan was that person for Neely. So now Morgan and Neely's bond is closer as a direct result of, you know, Chrissy and Neely's argument. So because of that, Morgan and Neely are now close to the point where Neely is willing to advocate for Morgan. And you do have a couple other people saying, like, maybe we should be targeting Morgan. Like, I think Jason is more inclined to want to target Morgan because he's worried about her relationship with Neely. But Chrissy is willing to listen to Neely and keep Morgan safe because it seems to be what Neely wants. And also, I think, you know, Chrissy, Morgan's done a better job than Shelby, certainly, and some of these other girls on
and
on this.
And meanwhile, we have Alex on the other end, basically, like convincing people like Shelby and Whitney, like, hey, you know, it wouldn't be the worst idea to be on the block. It wouldn't be the worst idea to be a pawn, to the point where Shelby is basically volunteering to Chrissy, like, yeah, you can throw me up as a pawn. That's fine. Like, after she has a conversation with Alex about it. And Alex has also been talking with people like Scott and the rest of the girls like Shelby, to make sure that if Morgan does go on the block, then at least their votes will not go toward Morgan. I know Scott was initially wanting to target Morgan. He called her basic, which she wasn't happy about.
She's a little basic. Relative to some of these people. Well, you know, there's such big personalities in there.
She was like, yeah, I'm not, she said to the cameras, I think, I'm not basic. Well, okay, maybe I'm not basic.
It's a tough thing to confront, right? Like, the idea you might be basic, but then you look to your left and you see Justin, and you look to your right and you see Jason, and you're like, maybe I'm basic.
Oh, man. Yeah. And being basic's not so bad, right, Taryn?
No, I think being basic is perfectly fine. I think being basic is like... is like being perfect, basically.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. There was no comma in that sentence. Taryn wasn't saying it's like being perfect, basically. It's like being perfect.
Yes.
On a basic level, it's being perfect.
Perfect, basically. Okay. All right. So thinking about what's stuff moving forward, guys, we got I'm just looking at the questions here. Let's take this one from George Barrett. George says, and I'll throw this to you, Alex Kidwell. George says, why is sister Alex selling her allies down the river before nominations are in place? That's a bad move, in my opinion. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, because she's trying to, you know, she knows she's going to lose the war, right? The enemy, so to speak, has HOH. So what you want to do is just get lose the battle. This week is the battle that you're going to lose one way or another. The question is just how bad are the casualties going to be, right? Do you want to lose Scott, who you feel like you have like a strong group that's not going to break up if you lose Scott? Scott's also someone you're maybe a little worried about. He's been getting very close to Jason and Justin lately. So Alex is a little worried, like, he might, you know, flip on her at some point. Contrast that with your sister. Like, you want to protect your sister because you know that your sister is someone you can work with and trust in this game. So far, it hasn't burned you at all. So, yeah, I mean, she's just trying to get the best possible outcome, steer the thing in a direction. Because she's in a position to be able to kind of do it, she's safe. So she has, like, kind of that immunity and survivor situation where you can be a little freer to talk.
But she doesn't have the votes, though. So this is what I don't understand. Like, she's trying, like, she's talking to Shelby, saying, well, you know, if Whitney gets to the end of the game, Whitney will probably win, obviously in a transparent attempt to try to save Morgan, although Shelby's completely unaware of that. And Shelby's like, I agree, you know, maybe we might have to vote out Whitney. I'm like, girls, you don't get a choice. I'm like, the other side has HOH. They have the votes, and America's going to decide. You know, if we nominate Neely, then obviously America's going to decide. If we nominate somebody from the ball crusher side, then the Misfits, the Jamboree side of the house, totally has the vote. So I don't know that it's necessarily a good idea for Alex to be throwing some of her allies under the bus when she's not going to be able to control the outcome this week anyway. I mean, she can shape what Shelby thinks. Maybe she can shape what a few other people think. But ultimately, they're going to do what their side wants. Does that make any sense to anybody but me? I don't understand why she's
saying. Right, I think what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
I think what you might be missing is that if Neely or one of the Misfits wins the veto and Neely comes off the block and it has to be between one of the two, then there could be some sway where it's like the votes could go a certain way and they could get favor with people like Justin or people like Chrissy who want to get favor with people like Shelby or more, whoever. Yeah. Who they, that can be like, yeah, well, maybe we'll do what they want and we'll take out this person, or maybe America will be on their side. And if the ball smashers all vote one way, then America can help them out by throwing a vote a certain way. Like, it could still go many different ways. And it helps Alex in general if they see Morgan as somebody that's not expendable, as somebody that they want to take further down in the game long term.
But I think that's a little aggressive, Taryn. I mean, why not just wait? Why not just wait until at least the third nominee, until one, the nominees go up, or the third nominee, or maybe after the veto? But already, I mean, there's time after the veto, right, Brent?
Well, this is where I'll kind of side with Taryn a little bit. In this season, it goes so fast after the veto ceremony because, you know, nominations are tomorrow night. The nominations are tonight. Tonight's Sunday. America's nominee is nominated tomorrow. Then the veto competition happens. Then the veto ceremony happens on Tuesday, and we vote them out on Wednesday. So it does move really fast. But, you know, a day is a lifetime in the Big Brother house. I still think Alex would have plenty of time to get the outcome that she wants. She can plant little seeds without overtly going against people in her own alliance. I just worry that this kind of talk will eventually come back to bite her in the ass later on. On the other hand, where do those people have to go? You know, if Whitney hears that Alex said, oh, maybe she's too likable to get to the end, where the hell is she going to go? She's not going to go anywhere but the Ball Crashers. So there you go.
Yeah, and I think that it has been successful. I think that, you know, so far it's been working. People are not wanting to take Morgan out. And a large part of why Morgan isn't as in the conversation for Chrissy as somebody like Whitney is because those allies are coming up. The people that Chrissy does want to connect with are coming up and giving her reasons to not put up Morgan.
I thought it was more Neely, but with the whole fight thing, but whatever. I mean,
there's a variety of reasons, okay. And that's one of them. And I do agree that, you know, I'm generally against being too aggressive. I don't know if I've seen Alex be too aggressive this week. We'll probably find out probably by next week if she's been too aggressive. But I think at the moment she hasn't crossed that line.
Let's talk about the vote a little bit. Alex Kidwell, let's say hypothetically the veto is won by somebody who doesn't decide to use it. Chrissy is HOH. Neely's on the block. Scott's on the block. Shelby/Whitney is on the block. Who's going to go home?
Probably Neely in that spot. I mean, it really is going to come down to, yeah.
Justin, in terms of who would vote, it would be Shelby or Whitney, whomever doesn't go on the block. Justin, Jason, Danielle, Morgan, and Alex. So,
well, it's 3-3 no matter what. I mean, yeah. it's three misfits. If Neely remains on the block, no matter what formulation of Ball Crushers is on the block, it's going to be three votes on the Ball Crusher side and three votes on the Jamboree side. America has the deciding vote, and I think America will vote out Neely in that spot, and I think the House will be shocked.
Man, Taryn, Brent, I keep forgetting about the America's vote, so thank you for reminding me. I'm like writing all these people, and I'm like, who has a vote? This person's vote?
Right.
Yes, of course. Stupid America. Taryn, you're in agreement on that?
Yeah, I mean, as long as, like I said, like the polling currently indicates that Neely will be put up on the block, it doesn't seem likely that that will change, like the sentiment toward her or toward that alliance will change by the time the voting is cast. So if she does go up on the block and the veto is not used on her, I do expect her to go home.
If all you're doing to try to, you know, sell yourself as someone to keep in the game is putting on a witch's hat, then I understand why people like, I get, you know, people are saying like, why are people nominating Neely? She's nice. It's like, well, we're getting to the point now where there's no one offensive left. Now we look around and it's like, well, there are people doing things and people not doing things. And so that's like the next level of like, you have to kind of keep improving. You had to not be offensive. Now that that's gone, now you have to be actively doing something. And unfortunately, there's not a lot that Neely's actively doing that's either strategic or actively entertaining.
By the way, I will really quickly say that besides Alex, I think everybody currently left in the game would use the veto on somebody. So that's important to keep in mind. I mean, you know, if anybody on the Jamboree side wins the veto, they're obviously going to pull Neely down and no one can go up in her place. If anybody on the Ball Crusher side wins the veto, they're obviously going to use it. The only person who would not use it, I believe, is Alex, because then Morgan might potentially go up on the block as a nominee.
Yeah, I guess that's interesting to think about. So you think Shelby or Whitney, whichever one wins, would use it on the other person if they won? Or you just don't think they'll win?
No. I mean, what do you mean? If Shelby's on the block, she's going to use it.
No. I'm talking about, okay. Yeah. So I'm saying hypothetically, Shelby's on the block. Whitney's off the block. Whitney wins HO. Or sorry, Whitney
that
wins
may be,
veto.
Taryn may have persuaded me that she may not, but based on this work that Alex has done. I mean, if Whitney's on the block, Morgan's off the block, and like let's say Shelby wins the Shelby wins the veto. I think she probably would not. Because then Morgan is the only option to go up. Ironically, I think that would help their side, though. Because if Scott and Morgan are on the block, I think America, the people who are anti
right. More likely to vote.
Plastics, they're going to split their vote between Morgan and Scott. And it would really consolidate Neely going home. If it's just Scott on the block or just Morgan on the block, then I do worry that it's going to – I mean, because Neely was winning, 55% of the vote in Taryn's poll. I've seen other polls where Neely's like 51, 52, 49 on Joker's. So it's dicey. It'll be dicey.
Okay. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll see how the veto ceremony goes. We'll see how things go with America's nomination. We will have an update on everything for you guys Tuesday night when we are live in New York. So that should be a lot of fun. It could be a very crazy show, guys. I don't know how many people are going to be on this panel, but I know I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
I know we will be.
Yes, we will.
Who knows
we will
where
be
the conversation will go? It has started with OTT, but
good start.
Lord knows where the night will take us.
Yeah, chicken parm and dog grooming and various other things could be discussed. It shall be a great time. Okay, speaking of that, we have a question here from Joey Jojo. Joey Jojo says, "Excited to meet you guys on Tuesday. What's your drink of choice so I know what to buy you, Taryn? I'm gonna guess it's something basic."
Yeah, I mean, I already told everyone it's water. I mean, give me some water and I'm good. No, I only told people to bring me pizza and sing.
Pizza and sing. The pizza song. That's
sing
what you
with
want,
the
right?
Pizza, yeah. Sing the pizza song.
Yes. Okay. So just so everybody knows, Taryn drinks water because you don't drink. You choose not to. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Bryn is a recovering addict of 12 years, and I don't drink, so I drink Coke. So there's that. So if you want to buy shots, hand them over to Alex and Jordan, and they'll have a great old time.
I need to start, getting ready for this trip. Mentally preparing myself for the bevy of shots that may be coming my way here.
Alex, preference in terms of shots that you would like, or a beverage?
Let's avoid straight tequila this time, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
See, now that you said that, people are going to give you tequila.
No.
So,
yeah, that's the only
you're
one
wasting
you
your money. No, yeah. Don't do that. No tequila. Anything else, I'm cool.
If you guys do that, I will pressure Alex into doing it, so don't worry.
Stop it! I'm canceling my trip now, Jordan.
Oh, man. And for
more of that show.
For real, don't do that. Don't be mean. You can buy me tequila if you want, or I'm a big fan of the just a really basic as well. Corona.
I have a question. I have a question for Taryn and Alex.
Go.
Why is Dani anti-Jason? Well, I've heard her in the diary room saying that she doesn't really trust Jason, but there wasn't a lot of the why. And then Chrissy related to Jason that Dani doesn't necessarily trust him as well. But again, the why was kind of missing. So why does Dani not trust Jason? Can one of you answer this for me?
Because he's talking to people that she's not willing to talk to. Like he's willing to play a social game. And yeah, right. So that makes him like, someone who's playing both sides. Right. But yeah, it's from Danielle's perspective. Danielle is the person who says time and time again, I refuse to talk to them. Like those girls have it in for me no matter what. She's set like that. Her mind is made up and there's no changing it. And so, yeah, of course, that's going to be the situation because you isolate yourself completely from those people. But yeah, like even her own allies are starting to get tired of some of her stories.
Right. I heard Jason earlier saying that because Danielle was complaining that Alex doesn't talk about her personal life on the feed. She doesn't want everything broadcast to America. And Dani was like, what kind of a bitch is she? Why is she doing that? She won't tell us anything about herself. And Jason was defending her saying, look, there have been plenty of people who have been on the show who maybe said a little too much on the feeds and it got broadcast to America and their family had to pay for it. So she's probably watching out for that. But Dani was like, Dani could not be denied at this point. She was like certain that she was right, that Alex was in the wrong, and she doesn't understand why Jason's defending her. So
Dani has already exposed so much about herself in various ways. So it would really be a shame for her to come down from that position.
Yeah, right. I mean, you got to think she's going to have that perspective. Like, I don't understand why she won't share a little knowledge. I shared like, yeah, I mean, you guys saw like open thrusting.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right. the pelvis kiss, Alex.
Right. The other thing about Dani's diary room was that you could tell how really taken aback she was by being nominated by America. Like, she was like trying to like prove herself to us. Like, you know, hope you guys really like me. I don't understand why you guys didn't like me. You know, I'm a really good person. The other side is like terrible. And, you know, I'm going to try and work hard for you guys. And the other thing that occurred to me, you know, when Julie announced this, and I apologize, I'm sort of tangential going all over the place. When Julie announced this final three instead of a final two, I really do think it hurts people like Danielle, people who are basically utterly unlikable, who could never win a vote for the most part, but who might have a chance of winning a vote in an A versus B scenario. You know, you cannot concoct a scenario where I think Danielle can win now. If it was a final two, I could get her there. Okay. I could get her to 51%, but in a final three, I mean, unless the other two people are exactly splitting the vote, I really do not think there's any chance that somebody like Danielle can win. And she kind of seems to know that at this point. She said, you know, I don't know if America likes me, but if I'm so unliked that I can't win at the end, then I really want to take two people that I really like to the end. So that basically seems like Chrissy and Neely. So that's another reason to get Neely out of the house.
Now that you mentioned that, I think that's probably where Scott is now coming from. Because, like, I think that Scott felt like, okay, all I need to do is get to the end with Shelby because I feel like Shelby, maybe I can beat Shelby. But then when the final three was announced, he was just like, what am I supposed to do here? So at this point, he maybe that's why he feels like he needs to be playing his game for somebody else because he just basically has no shot either way.
All hail the Virgin King.
And that's not true, though. I think Scott could win. And
I
wish that, and I hate the fact that he thinks that he can't. I'm hoping that after Neely is nominated, and we could have nominated Scott and did not, and this is after the week where we gave him the care package, I'm hoping that lifts his spirits even more and he realizes, look, dude, we don't hate you that much, all right? Like, we, you know, you're cool.
Well, I do think his road is getting, you know, exceedingly tougher. Like, I think yes. He correctly assessed in his live DR last night that, you know, me and Chrissy are, you know, even though, like, I it was funny because he said my strategy was to just, like, tell everyone Chrissy's my only target. And obviously that backfired. I didn't think she was ever going to win anything. And she wins something. So that sucks. And he's right. But yeah, I mean, he thinks it's interesting because he says me and Chrissy are kind of in the same position in that we both need to be very careful with who goes home every week going forward because it's very you know, situational whether or not we can win if we're with the right people. We're not like some of the most likable people in the house. But I'm trying to figure out how to get myself there. And I feel like the problem is that Chrissy's only willing to think about getting herself there to the end with two people she likes that she's like happy to lose to. And sure enough, then in Chrissy's DR, she confirms everything that Scott had said, saying that I'm basically looking at going to the final three with people that I'm close to and then I'd be happy losing with, which is frustrating to hear because you know that, you know, that mentality is going to dictate some outcomes going forward if enough people in the house share it.
And that's why she's a mastermind, Alex. She laid it all out for us. Taryn, what's the biggest takeaway from you from the live DRs from last night?
I don't know. I think the Shelby thing was a big one for me. No, I mean, it's really been... I don't know if it's because of the frequency of the live DRs or if it's just the nature of this game, but I feel like we've been getting less and less new information in the DRs as time goes on. I think probably just because there's less and less going on strategically. It's just two sides, you know, firing shots.
Right.
And oh, like maybe we can work with these people. Oh, but nope, there's two people from both sides on the block, so it's going to be divided again. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of movement going on.
All right. Let's get into more of your question, guys. This one is from Wambulance NYC. Wambulance says, when Chrissy is involved, I can only watch 2 minutes of feeds at a time. How are all of y'all doing? I'm concerned for your sanity. Brent, how are you doing?
Well, you can always switch cams. Like, that's where there's four cams. You know, if Chrissy's on cam three, I just go over to cam one, and there's Justin singing about the pizza. So I don't really need to worry about that. I mean, Chrissy doesn't bug me as much as everybody else. I don't know why.
Because you switch cams.
Right. Well, not just that. Like, I just know that her fall is coming. She can't be HOH next week. So she's going to be have not next week, and she's going to be nominated by America next week unless somebody on the other side puts her up automatically, which I really hope they don't, because I want the privilege of doing it. So, I mean, like, you know, she has, like, she's up at the mountain right now, and she's going to fall really fast. So I'm cool with that, you know. And as far as listening to her, I mean, it just, I've listened to this kind of stuff for 3, 4, 5 seasons now, covering Big Brother proper and Big Brother Canada. There's always a couple people in the house that think they know everything, that are really haughty and self-righteous, and you know, there you go, they think they'll never be evicted, and then act surprised when they walk out with this goddamn sandwich in their hand or something.
Exactly.
Love you.
I love you too. I love you, Brent. I always will. Okay,
you were never self-righteous though, I don't think.
No, I don't. I don't. No, I don't know. Cool. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
I didn't win HOH though, so maybe that would have changed. Okay. This next question is from Matt Forsyth. Matt says, "What's the best game plan when the house is split? Should you float, coast, or pick a side and ride it out?" Taryn.
Well, it's different in this game. I think what you need to do is be one of the more popular people on your side. That'll generally get you protected. But you also don't want to be in Justin's position, where you're so popular that you're the only person on your side that doesn't become a have not, because that puts a huge target on your back.
Can I say something really quickly? I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but we have to make Justin a have not next week. We have to. If you love Justin and you want him to go to the end of the game, and there may be some people that don't, okay, but if you love him, we need to make him a have not here, because he makes such a big deal of the fact that he's not a have-not, bringing more attention. And I hear the house guests talking, like I heard the girls talking tonight, like they can't believe that America doesn't nominate him after he whipped his you-know-what out. Of course, he didn't do that, and they admitted that. Like, after, it wasn't quite the way they told the story. But nevertheless, they think he's, you know, they don't understand why he doesn't get nominated by America. I think they've all figured out that he's really well-liked by America. So if you like Justin and you want to put some doubt in the other house guest's mind about just how popular he is, you need to make him a have-not next week.
How did he celebrate this week?
He just runs around like a crazy person. Like, the minute they announced that the three have-nots, he jumps up out of the couch, like, runs to the bedroom. Yeah, exactly. Runs all the way back, you know, and it's just like, and he starts twerking in front of everybody. Like, I mean, come on. Like, honey, you know it's a popularity contest at the end of the day. I'm trying to, like, look at the alternate universe where he's totally not like that and see if that makes a difference. I think it marginally does, you know, but I don't know. I just think he's doing himself a disservice.
I don't know. I think that's him being him. I think that's what's working for him, you know? So, like, you can't, if you start to dial it back, you run the risk of, like, losing what made people like you in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
I know, we have to make him a have-not next week. Him and Whitney, I feel like, have never been have-nots. They must be have-nots. Everybody needs to take a damn turn, people. That's what I'm talking about. If y'all want to make Alex the third have-not, fine.
Okay, back to Taryn answering the question. Taryn.
Sorry.
Taryn. What would you suggest then? Yeah, Matt was asking, do you pick a side, do you coast, or do you just kind of like float between both sides?
You have to pick a side. However, that doesn't mean you can't have ties with the other side. I think the ideal situation is to be positioned. In this game, I think Shelby is probably in the best position of the ball smashers at the moment. I think that she's seen as a worthless competitor, a worthless social player, and just worthless person to get out in the first place. And she doesn't even have any other ties. She doesn't need any ties, because you don't need ties to win this game. You just need to make it to the end and win the vote. So, you know, her biggest issue is going to be getting to the end with the right people that aren't going to be too popular. But I don't think she'll have a problem with that, because when you get to the end, you have to start taking out all the other the popular people. And in order to do that, you're probably going to take hits to your own popularity, because it's like, oh, if Alex goes at Justin at Final Five, then Alex is going to get hate from the Justin fans, and but Justin is going to be gone. And then if Shelby makes it to Final Three with Alex and people hate Alex because she got rid of Justin, then Shelby wins the game. So it might be Shelby's move. Just be hated by everyone except for America.
I don't know. I'm dubious of that. I really do think that if Alex, Justin, or Jason gets to the end of the game, I feel like they're the winner no matter who they're sitting against. I really don't, and I mean I'm not willing to put my name on that, but I do believe that that's where we're headed.
All right. Yeah, you never know who wakes up tomorrow and like mutters something anti-Semitic, and then right. All of a sudden the tables how they turn in this game.
Oh yes. Let's hope no one pulls a Cornbread here moving forward. Okay, Alex Kidwell, I'll throw this question to you. This is from Kim B. Kim says, please explain why people think Sister Alex is such a good player. I just don't see it. Specific examples would help. Thank you.
I feel like we've done this a lot on the podcast. Yeah,
yeah, don't we get
this
question
this
last
every
time?
Week? Like, well, and people individually ask me on Twitter, and I'm like, can you just rewatch the podcast? Like, I feel like kind of tired of this, but... I mean, I don't think we've like said she's a great player, have we? I think people have misinterpreted some things. We've said that she's trying and other people aren't trying. By like default, that makes her basically the best player in the house. It doesn't make her great, but some of these people are so bad. Like, please acknowledge how awful some of these people are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's she's the player where if you look at the traditional game, if you take what she has done and remove America's influence, what she was doing was very, very good, and she wouldn't have gotten screwed over without America's influence, like 2 weeks in a row, basically. And then despite that, her moves that, you know, people point to a lot, like week two, she made these bad moves, it backfired on her. It backfired because of America's influence, but her going for it made her popular. Her gusto gave her fans, and now she's one of the more popular people. So she really didn't lose week two either. So if you look at it from either direction, she's still doing a pretty decent job. But I think easily if she is the person where if you remove America's influence, she was the one that was positioned to do the best.
All right. This next question is from Edmo again. Edmo says, name a song that Chrissy's band should cover to describe her HOH next week, or her HOH this week. Sorry. Brent, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Brent doesn't listen to music.
I feel like
there's that song that they always play at the Donald Trump rallies. Like, you can't always have what you want. You can't always have. Like, I don't know why they play that song at a Republican nominee rally, but whatever. Like,
because it's classic rock,
right?
Classic rock reminds people of good times.
Yeah, make America great again. All right, so I think Chrissy, yeah, I think that's what Chrissy should play, because she's not going to get what she wants this week.
I just opened up my iTunes and I picked the first one that seemed right, The Wreck by Frightened Rabbit.
Okay, there you go. I don't know that song, but I can tell based on the title that it works.
Trying to look
Taryn
cool.
Listens to some obscure stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Like
Frightened Rabbit is not obscure.
Says
you. Dude, that's obscure.
I don't know who the hell that
None
is.
Of us
I
know bet that is.
Everyone that knows who Frightened Rabbit is, tweet at us with the hashtag that we come up with, because I know that they're a big popular band.
And if
Fool
you
acts like Frightened Rabbit is Usher, all right.
And if you don't know what Frightened Rabbit is, also please tag us and let us know so we can prove that for once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Terrence just asking for the affirmative. He doesn't want the negative. Like, if you don't know who the hell Frightened Rabbit is, please tweet me and I'll forward it all to Terrence.
I have to put up.
Yeah, I think Taryn is trying to shed his basic label. I think he's trying to get rid of it. That's probably where that's coming from.
It was literally the first band in my iTunes.
Wow. Okay. And then next question is from at BB Fan the Homie. And BB Fan the Homie. I mean that is such a great Twitter handle. I love it. BB Fan the Homie. Like, you're a BB fan and you're the homie. Anyway, a BB Fan the Homie says, has Jason improved since Big Brother 17? Has he missed opportunities? Is he doing too much or too little? Taryn, what do you think?
I do think he's improved. I think that he is much more analytical, very much like Nicole's improvement, where he's coming in the second time and he's thinking things through a lot more than he was his first time around. He's trying to look at it from all the angles, and he's not always successful, and he's not without a fair amount of mistakes, but I do think he's playing a better game, and he's playing one of the better games in the house.
I agree. I also think Jason's done an admirable job this year trying to improve his game. I'm interested to see how he is at the end of this week, because he's one of those people like me that basically eats the same thing at the end of the night every night. And so, like, he always eats this, like, burrito thing or, I don't know, quesadilla, whatever. And he is not going to be able to do that this week. In fact, by the way, just FYI, Big Brother, I feel like you, like, if you're have not, like, I feel like you also shouldn't be able to smoke. But I'll withhold that for just a second, because he literally goes out there and lives on the cigarettes.
Brent, that is such a good idea.
That's so cool.
I think, like, if you're have not, you should not be able to go out there and smoke. Anyway, so it's fine. Jason is have not
applying for this game.
Jason is have not this week, and he's going to have to put up with it for 5 more days. And he's already starting to break a little bit. So I'm interested to see how he is at the end of this. And the one good thing, as opposed to regular Big Brother, about this Big Brother is that even if you're a have not, you know that there's a countdown to the end of the week when you're not going to be a have not. Whereas in regular Big Brother, you could be have not 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's the worst part, is that have-not competition. It's as much as it doesn't matter on the show to the people at home.
Really, like, matters to you.
Yes, it matters so much. It matters more than the other comps, at least it did for me. I was like, screw that, the rest of that. I just want food.
Yeah, and it ends up making for great dramatic moments sometimes, because it really matters to people in the house. I always remember Big Brother 15, where, like, Howard is, you know, throwing it by, you know, tossing rancid milk on Gina Marie and Aaron.
That was so great. That was the only moment where Howard was good, was when he did that. I was like, wow, Howard's great. And then the rest of it, I was
truly
like,
his I know, right? Rob always is saying, like, how he doesn't care about the food comps. And I love the food comps, number one, because they're kind of silly, and I love popcorn television like that. But number two, it really matters to the people in the house, and that often has ramifications on the game as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, when you get, like, just the stupidest moments, like Keith in BB13, like, when he was, like, remember, wasn't that the, weren't they in cow costumes or something? I had to, like, milk the other people, and he was, like,
like, how he was doing it.
If you haven't seen it, definitely look that up on YouTube. Okay, next question. This one is from Dave Franco. Dave Franco says, will Chrissy's obnoxiousness make her likely to reach the final three as a GOAT? Alex, what do you think about that?
It's the best shot she got. So, I mean,
right? Because I feel like that would be so, like, why not take Chrissy to the end? It's guaranteed, like, auto win, like, free. Well, not auto win, but free person that you don't have to beat.
Yeah, I mean, from the one live DR question that everyone was asked on Friday night was, does the knowledge that a final three, that the game is going to go to a final three, change your strategy at all? And for the vast majority of people, they're not thinking about it. But a couple people that have, you know, give it some consideration are Alex and Scott, and those are two people who I feel like would be absolutely targeting Chrissy soon, except now maybe they need to rework that. Maybe they can't work with Jason and Justin long term the way they might have wanted to. Maybe they have to switch up this strategy and keep around someone like Chrissy, who is, you know, kind of a safety valve in the back pocket if you can hang on to her for long enough. So yeah, it does change some things, and it's definitely better for players like Chrissy, because it makes her appealing in a way that she wouldn't have been before.
All right, let's take this next question. This one is from JD. JD says, if all four plastics stay this week, who is in the best position next week? Taryn says, Shelby. Brent, who do you say?
I think Morgan is probably in the safest position. I mean, she's going to have Alex totally protecting her, and it seems like everybody else really likes her on her side of the house, and everybody really likes her on the other side of the house. I don't know anyone that wants to get rid of Morgan at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't necessarily think it's Shelby. I do think Morgan is in the best position because she has her sister there. That's just not a general strategy that would apply to anyone.
And obviously, I would like to say also, because I get this, people tweet me all the time, like, people, do not hold it against the Willett sisters that they are smart enough to look different and fool the other house guests. I mean, the fact that these house guests are so utterly stupid I just spit all over my microphone. They're so stupid to not realize that these two chicks are sisters. I mean, look at them when they walked in. I mean, like, and think about it from a logical perspective, Jason, you Big Brother historian, you. Do you really think that Big Brother is going to cast two people who basically look identical? Like, I mean, they would never, ever do that because the viewers can't tell them apart. Obviously, there's something going on here. Obviously, they're sisters. I can't believe the other house guests are so stupid that they cannot figure out that the Willett sisters are together in the house. But don't hold it against the Willett sisters. Like, people are saying, like, you know, the Alex has an unfair advantage because her sister's playing in the house. You know what? It's incumbent upon the other house guests to get rid of her. And then they're I can't even say what I really want to say, but they're so stupid. I don't know how they can't see that it's her sister in the house. So if the house guests can't see it, then c'est la vie.
Yeah, I mean, right. It looks like an unfair advantage right now because no one is, you know, pressing the issue in the least. But if they were exposed at any point, all of a sudden they're both like totally in trouble, right? So it's not necessarily an advantage. It's an advantage to Alex and Morgan because they're doing it well enough to not get caught. But they haven't been perfect. I mean, there's been a couple slip-ups. There have been moments where if people were sharper, if people were quicker, they could have called them out. So
I'm sorry, I mean, you said if other people were sharper, I fell out of my chair.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, I don't think that it's like, you know, it's certainly not like something that, like, the deck is stacked and these people have like such a massive thing to have to overcome. Like, just, you know, if somebody calls them out one time the right way, like, those girls are in trouble. Like,
right.
That's
and
really
don't you
all
think,
it is.
I also think that Big Brother has to be absolutely stunned that this is working. Like, I mean, like, they had Julia and Liz a couple seasons ago who were switching. They weren't even in the house at the same time, and people picked up on the fact that they were twins. And here you have two people who are blatantly in your face who look exactly like the same person on the memory wall, and you can't figure out that they're sisters.
I would argue, Brent, it is harder to do what the Nolan twins did. You know why? Because it's not so much like the looks, it's the conversations you have in there. You are in there 24/7.
If someone
says, like, hey, remember when we talked about this yesterday, and you were just like blank and you're just like deer in the headlights, that's not a good sign. Whereas at least the sisters can stay in 24/7.
I agree. Yeah, I just think that people like Jason, who, you know, knows Big Brother and knows that Big Brother is likely to do something like this, Jason's a fan of Big Brother. He knows that Big Brother Canada just had two brothers in the house at the same time playing as one person. How can he not even really entertain the idea that these are not sisters? Because he put it out there for a moment and it's never come up again. And that's because of the Willett sisters. That's because Alex has made sure she's really, you know, dumbed or not glammed herself up and is wearing her hair all ratty all the time and wearing her glasses. And Morgan has to, you know, curl her hair every day and put on makeup. Does she want to do that? No. And am I a fanboy of the Willett sisters? No. But I hate it that people think that they have an unfair advantage. It's not their fault that the other house guests are idiots.
Yeah. And then, keep in mind, like, even if you, like you said, Jordan, even if what the Nolans had to do is much harder, if you believe that, I mean, they were busted in a week too. Like, Davon was the second person out and she was on to him. So, you know, the Willett sisters have long since passed that point already. They've doubled it already. So, like, it's not as easy as people maybe are implying.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. Totally.
And I'm really hoping that. No, and I love you, BB Toombs, but no bullhorn comes over to the side of the house and exposes the sisters, because I think that's a bridge too far. I really do.
Yeah, that would suck for them.
I love you, BB Toombs. Could you imagine? I really do, but no. And then, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, BB Toombs is the guy who has the megaphone who went past the CBS lot because, you know, the backyard is basically next to a street, and he went by with a megaphone and said that James and Nicole have a final two. Now, do they have a final two? No, but it put something interesting in the air the other house guests were talking about. This is a little different, where it's like it's an actual fact that you would expose, and it would totally destroy their games. So,
Taryn, if let's say hypothetically that happens and the house guests find out that the Willett sisters are sisters, how mad is Chrissy going to be?
I mean, it's just going to be the same Chrissy nonsense as everything else.
She's going to have
she'll be furious.
What will happen?
She will explode. Like, she will die if that happens. It'll be so good.
We will see her furiously flipping through the pages of the rule book. I don't see anywhere in here where it says you're allowed to have a sister. in the game.
You people disgust me that you could be so conniving. It is unfathomable to me.
Taryn, we had some people in the Rob is a Podcast patron Facebook group last week talk about what I should put on my wall behind me. I kind of want to get that picture of you doing the like Chrissy is mad impression and then frame that and put it right here. I think that would be the like that is my favorite picture.
You just
I love that
angrily
so
looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, because it's so funny. It's so good. It's that is almost as good as a Soldier Brent. Almost. That was great.
Yeah, someone tweeted a picture of Alex and a picture of me at our exact times that Chrissy won HOH, and Alex looks like he's seen an oncoming car, and I'm like going, you know, yes. So it's a great juxtaposition.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. I love that picture. So thank you to those of you who did screenshot that and send it to us. I think it's in the comments of that episode if you want to go on the website and find that. Let's jump to another question. This one, I'm not sure about this. I mean, we talked about Danielle a little bit earlier. I've heard things about this, but I don't know 100% if this is legit or not. Terry Ratzak is asking, is it true that Danielle's daughter is from a former NFL player? Now, I know she shared like a lot of info about her life and stuff. Did she mention this at all? And do you know where this rumor came from?
Son.
Yeah, I have heard this. I don't know how confirmed it is. It's not something that I've like researched or anything, and I also don't know sports people, so that doesn't help either.
Yeah, maybe I should call an audible. Right? Alex yeah. Kidwell.
Did hear something about this. God, it was like someone I you know, and I just saw it, so I'm not going to say it's, you know, factual because I saw that someone said it. I didn't see that it was a thing. Okay, but I do believe it was like someone with the Chiefs. I think that was what I saw.
I recall seeing somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody credible say, oh, it's confirmed that this person is the father. So I do think
it's
somewhat credible. But go ahead.
All right, what I'm trying to get out is the fact that we're never going to see this person anyway. Like, if she gets HOH, she's made it clear that she has a son, but she's not going to get a picture of him because the father has not signed the release form. So that indicates to me that's more like cheese next to the mousetrap, that there may be something more than meets the eye here as far as who the father is, because he didn't want to sign the release form.
Steven Nelson, starting corner for the Chiefs, 23 years old.
Wow. All right. There you go. Nice work, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
And this is allegedly.
I've got a future as an NFL scout, Jordan.
Oh yeah. There we go. Yeah. Yes.
Meanwhile, I was looking up the Frightened Rabbit Facebook page, which has almost 200,000 likes, Jordan. They're a big band.
Yeah, I looked them up too. They're a Scottish indie band, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, they're Scottish.
Okay, Ludacris. They are not, Taryn. They're not.
Like, I didn't say they were ludicrous.
Well, you like said they weren't obscure. And come on, that's obscure.
Well, they're not obscure. 200,000 likes on Facebook. That's pretty good for a Scottish band.
Touche.
We are off the beaten path. And also, too, just for the record.
Not that I'm one to go off the beaten path.
Of course, Brett, you never do that. You are so good at not doing that. I appreciate it. Just for the record, Scotland, I don't know, the population, I think it's pretty a lot bigger than 200,000, Taryn. So just saying. Anyway.
They're big in America.
Okay. Well, if they're big with you. This next question, I will throw it to you, Taryn. You can start. How would you rank remaining house guests on their level of self-awareness as to how they're being perceived by America? Now, we don't have to go through everyone, but if you could just talk about maybe like the top three and the bottom three, if you each could go through that, I think that would be a lovely exercise. So, Taryn, maybe we'll start with you. Who is most self-aware in your opinion?
It's a difficult question. I think self-aware, I'm taking that to mean the more self-aware you are, the more unsure you should be about where you stand with
America. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think Alex is very self-aware. I think Jason is very self-aware. And who would be the third? Maybe Scott. I think he thinks he's less popular than he is.
Exactly.
I would say Justin just because he's so spot on, but I don't know how hard he's thinking about it.
Right.
Okay.
Who would be the third? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there really is anybody who is so – maybe Shelby. I think she has a pretty good awareness of Shelby. what what we think of her and what where her place is in the game. So
I think she's very aware of like our perception, but I don't think she's super aware of like necessarily the perception that other people have of her in the house sometimes, because like definitely when Jason blew up at her, she was like, where did that come from? That was out of nowhere. And it's like, actually, he's been silently seething and resenting you for days now. That was coming. It's like we all knew it was coming. You were the only person who saw it as a blind side.
Yeah, she still thought they were friends.
So wow. Yeah,
like, I love Justin.
But I do like Shelby, and like I don't think she's that far out of the conversation. Yeah, who's the third? That's tough. But yeah, I definitely think Alex and Jason are the runaways too.
Okay, then Kidwell, throw it the other way. Throw it back to you. In terms of the least self-aware people, who would you say those people are? Chrissy, of course, and who else?
Yeah, Chrissy.
Oh, sure, make it hard.
I think you. Yeah.
Took the easy one.
I think maybe you have to say Neely, just in the sense that I don't think she knows what the bulk of viewers are looking for from people. I think she thinks that like, if I'm loyal and, you know, nice to everybody, that that's all I need to do here. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be enough in this game. Not fair, but it is what it is.
And I have to say,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No, I don't want to change the conversation. Go. I'll bring it up later.
And then
go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe the last person would be Scott for me, just because, you know, it's close, but Scott is someone who's like actively trying to protect people that are burying him right now. So I guess maybe.
Couldn't it be argued that Jason is a little, maybe not self-aware, Taryn, because of how, you know, recent events have been unfolding.
I think he's always been somebody that's been like, guys, don't get too cocky. This could make us unpopular. Now that he's unpopular, he's like, all right, well, why am I unpopular? He's thinking about it a lot more than other people. Which
right.
I
Things
think
are going bad, about it. But he's the first that's aware. This is not good. A good look for us. He's always on that.
Okay.
I do think we're missing Danielle from the bottom three, who, even though she was given
a
very clear signal.
Like,
she was given a very clear signal. She still doesn't understand why. And she's still like, how can I be nominated over those fake, terrible people on the other side? They're just the worst. Like, she still doesn't get it.
Poor Dan. She seems like she is deep down is a nice girl. She just, the house, for whatever reason, just kind of made her a little loopy. So, anyway, Taryn, or sorry, Brett.
I've forgotten what I was going to say. I'm trying to remember.
Okay. Well, then we're going.
Couldn't have been that important.
She has Danielle has been better this week, and we kind of touched on this on the Friday show, but she's been a bit more low key throughout the week. So I do think she has some positive momentum going for her moving forward.
Go ahead, Brent.
And this is my weekly, bag on Taryn and Alex for their perceptions of BBOTT. But I would just like to point out that, you know, people like Neely, who are loyal and nice, but not necessarily good feeds and not very good at entertaining television, she would probably go far in a regular Big Brother game. But on BBOTT, girl, that ain't enough. So, I mean, that just is another like feather in my cap. That's like, I really love BBOTT, and I'm gonna kind of miss it when it goes away.
Yeah, although I
hate
even if
positioning
she,
this as an opposite opinion from us.
Right. Like, I agree with that, but I think even if she's not charismatic, she can do what, like, there are a couple people in here who are not good charisma or feeds per se, but you see them constantly working and strategizing and trying to think about the game. And I think there's a subset of fans that respond to that. I'm one of them, you know, like, right. I'm inclined to like that person, even if they're not super entertaining. So that's like, you have to go one of the two ways. You have to be strategically captivating or socially captivating. And unfortunately, like, Neely's not doing enough of either at this point. Like, when you look around, there's no more Monty's and cornbreads to pile onto. That really is her problem.
And it should be noted that Neely doesn't get put in this situation if both Danielle and Chrissy are ineligible in front of her. She's kind of being put in a spot where she wouldn't have gone out this early if not for this unique circumstance.
It's so funny. We're already talking about her in past tense. But, like, I mean, there's a good chance she comes down. Like, if anybody on her side wins the veto, she's coming down, and one of the ball crushers is definitely going home. So, like, there's a huge – even if Neely goes up as a nominee, there's a huge chance that she might be saved.
All right, we've got a breaking news are happening now. This is from Alan at AO Prayer on Twitter. Alan says, can confirm Scotland is a big country. So there you go.
5.2 million people, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now all of Scotland is going to come for me. I didn't mean to say that.
Alex, Alex is just the worst. He has the worst opinions.
Just from a purely pop culture standpoint, the Scottish influence has been minimized throughout time. It's not fair. I don't condone it.
Oh, Alex hates the Scottish.
Oh my!
He probably loved Brexit.
All right, now I have to come on Tuesday wearing the Braveheart paint. That's fine. I'll do it.
Next question.
Oh, man. Alex Kidwell, I love you, man. Okay. Taryn, I brought up earlier, you said at the beginning of the show, you teased it. What was that like heart-shaped thing that people were talking about? Did someone bake something that was heart-shaped? Yeah. Chrissy got mad? What was that?
Chrissy was upset at Alex because Alex made, what was it, a sandwich or something that she cut out into a heart. And she was just like, this person, she doesn't know how to cook. She's such a useless person. And she's wasting food by making it heart-shaped. And then Big Brother gave Alex the task to bake heart-shaped cookies for Chrissy.
Now, see, all the people complaining that, like, you know, this is terrible. We shouldn't give the safety package to Alex because, you know, we don't want her safe. Like, they wanted to give it to Shelby because they wanted good feeds. I'm like, oh, my God. Alex, as Chrissy's servant, is the best. Like, I love it because the person who's more irritated than anything is Chrissy. Number one, because she can't touch her. And number two, because Alex constantly has to get in her face and, like, say nice things. And, you know, she's not being, like, honest about it. She's like, oh, don't you look beautiful today? And she uses her feather duster to, like, feather dust her face. And, like, it's great. I love watching Alex interact with Chrissy. And Chrissy's always saying in her diary room is how, you know, the one person she doesn't get along with is Alex because Alex won't make eye contact with her. So this is why she thinks that America did this, because she wants that America wants Alex and her to work together. So, ugh, whatever.
All right, let's take a couple more questions before
she's the waitress, America. She gets it. That's what she's saying. I get it. I'm a waitress, so I get it.
I'm a waitress. It's so funny that you wanted to have her wait on me because I'm a waitress. I get it. I see what you guys are doing. It's all about that.
I've worked tables before, too, but I never would have made that connection.
All right. Let's take a couple more questions before we wind things down. This one is from Cassie. Cassie says, Justin has said he wants Neely out. Would he really vote to evict her if she's on the block Wednesday? And would that be a smart move? Brent?
I mean, boy, it's close. I mean, the thing is, if he does that, then he does ingratiate himself with the other side of the house. And it does save another boy. And I do think that Scott, at least for the time being, would like to work with Justin and Jason. So I think that it has a lot of upside, but it also has a little bit of downside. On the other hand, Chrissy, if you vote out Neely, Neely's gone. Chrissy can't be HOH next week. And the only person you really need to worry about is Danny coming after you. But would Danny really come after you? You could just say you made a mistake. You're sorry. Boo hoo. You know, she hates those other girls so much. She would probably still go after them. So, but the one thing it does that maybe that would be a downside is it would blur the lines. It would finally break the, you know, this side against that side thing. I think that things would be a little bit more fluid, and Justin's in a very secure spot right now. So maybe he doesn't want to upset the apple cart too much.
But Alex, you don't think, I mean, you and Taryn were talking on Friday, you guys aren't totally against the two sides crumbling, right?
Oh, they love that. I'm just saying from Justin's point of view.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
What do you think about this?
Taryn touched on it earlier. I mean, the war of attrition, as interesting as it can be, doesn't leave a lot of room for strategic maneuvering simply because, like, everyone is so polarized, and that if anyone tries to, like, broker any kind of conversation, everyone's back in, like, the one bedroom where they all congregate whispering about how the one person isn't here right now. You know what I mean? It becomes very tough for anyone to play the game.
Alex, do you think that Justin, if he can get Jason to go along with it, should vote out Neely?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Because Neely's really on their side, but that may not last, though.
Right. I mean, and Scott is, you know, definitely willing to work with those guys. But I think it ends up just, yeah, being too problematic.
I think the problem is that the girls are too tight, and Alex is in control of Scott. And so I don't think Justin can get in into that group. So there's not really anywhere for him to go. And so he kind of needs Chrissy or needs Neely. At the very least, he can't have, you know, obviously betrayed her.
Which is why it would be better for those guys if Chrissy would just put up like Morgan and Whitney. or two girls.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. She shouldn't be trying to get out Scott. She was the one saying last week that, you know, Scott got revenge on Shane because of personal feelings. And I do feel like this is a personal vendetta that Chrissy has against Scott here, because she, you know, it's clearly not the correct move to take out Scott. The four girls are so tight. Jason's even pointed out to Chrissy, you know, he's like, they move in like a school of fish, like even like, there was this praying mantis in the house, and they all walk outside, and the four girls all together go outside to see the praying mantis. So Jason's like, you know, you can't talk to one of them. Like, all four of them will be there at the same time. We have to get rid of one of them. And yet here we are, you know, right after Chrissy's blow up, she wants to get rid of Scott. And Jason's like, well, I'd really like to get rid of one of the girls, but let's just let Chrissy do whatever she wants. Like, Chrissy has really stifled whatever strategic input her side of the house was willing to give her by that blow up. Like, I don't think she realized how much that really hurt her cause here.
All right. Let's take a couple more. I said that last time. I lied. I found another one. So we'll do this one and then one more. This one's from Catherine Gonzalez. Catherine says, is Scott to the plastics as Danielle is to the misfits? Taryn?
Sure. I like in a simplified sense, for sure. I mean, he's the expendable one. None of them really like him all that much, but they use him because he's a target and a number. And I mean, that's it.
All right. Yeah. You guys in agreement on that? Yeah.
Scott is to the plastics, guess, like who is to the misfits?
Like Danielle. He's the,
sorry. Yeah,
I guess the only difference would be that Scott is like infinitely more loyal than Danielle.
Right. And Danielle is not so loyal to Jason and Justin at this point.
But in the loosest comparative sense.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then last question. This one's from Cindy Wigglesworth. Cindy says, what is the LFC's end game? Who do they want to see get to the final three?
So. Oh, I've said for a long time that I want any combination of Alex, Scott, Jason, and Justin to end up in the final three. I think we'd have a really, really fun final three vote. In fact, maybe even Alex, Scott, and Jason. I feel like that would be maybe the closest final three vote. If Justin's there, I think he probably runs away with it. So, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Man, I can co-sign that, Brent. I think that would be an interesting final.
Shelby's final won me three. Over, though, too.
Shelby
I keep forgetting
good.
About her.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, though, here's what I want. Now that she's gone on this warpath, and now that she's won HOH, I want Chrissy to go all the way to the end.
Oh, hush. You're an evil man.
Honestly, I think I'd be happy with most outcomes. I think, like, I wouldn't love having to, you know, sit there throughout a Chrissy win, a Danielle win, maybe a Morgan win. And then now that she's, you know, come out this weekend and said that she, her least favorite house guests of all time are Andy and Amanda, I wouldn't be thrilled with a Whitney win either.
Wow, Whitney said that?
I fell off the Whitney bandwagon after she said that Big Brother 15 was the most boring cast of all time, which you can call them a lot of things, but boring.
Not boring. No.
And then Amanda and Ando were like the most hated of all time. And then
she would have been better off. Like if she had just said, like, I don't know, I never watched Big Brother 15. Like that would have been fine with me. But here she has to go and bag on them. I'm like,
yeah, that's
not a good look
spot for me. Yeah, I like some of those people. And then and Scott had to, you know, educate her about the demon that was Big Brother 9, Josh.
Right? He hates
you don't know. You don't know.
Oh man, we should ask I don't want to say this person's name because I don't want to spoil if I don't want them to not show up and have people disappointed on Tuesday, but there might be somebody who comes on Tuesday that knows Josh or had some interactions with Josh, so stay tuned for that. Taryn, go ahead.
I was gonna say I mostly want to see Jason in the final three just because you know, Jason's my boy. But beyond that, I'm not sure. I still want to see more of the game being played. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Justin. I love that he's like really excited about playing the game and being devious. Obviously I think Alex plays well. But I think honestly it could change by the time the final three comes around. I think that there's a lot of game left to be played. So Jason's the only lock that I think I have.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour, guys. Let's just go quickly around the horn, get your guys' final thoughts on the episode. While the LFC and I are shutting things down, if you guys in the chat could brainstorm some hashtags, that would be great. I actually have one today, but I want to see if there's a better one. Alex, I'll give you the floor, man. Final thoughts.
Big Brother 15 wasn't boring, but this weekend on BBOTT was.
All right. There we go. Nice and short and sweet. I like it. Taryn, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for the sides to break down. I feel like that will create a more dynamic viewing experience. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to speed the game up a little.
Okay, Brent, I see you've got your. Who are you texting there, Brent? Who are you texting?
My partner. Why you gotta bring that up?
Oh, I just want to see if things are okay. I just want to make sure.
Yes, my partner's flight has been rerouted from Korea to Tokyo. He's currently like flying across the globe right now. So
okay, so is he okay?
Yeah, he'll be home tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He'll be home tomorrow, and you'll be leaving tomorrow for New York City.
Right? Crazy, huh? How that works out. Yeah.
Right.
No, I think it's been a very fun season so far. I'm not at all disappointed with the Chrissy HOH win because her fall is going to be really, really good to watch, especially like 100% she's going to be have not next week. I don't know if she'll be nominated by America because they might take that away from us and do it themselves. But she's definitely going to be a have not. So that's a coming.
All right. Let's just take a look at the hashtags here. The one I have is hashtag basic biscuit.
That's what I was going to say earlier. Yeah. Yeah, some people like that. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. We had someone in the chat post that earlier. So thank you.
I like that alliteration.
Yeah, and then we had,
you like that it's about you.
Well, yeah, but
shame.
an alliteration that's also about me. I mean,
yeah, perfect. Exactly. Right.
Whammy. And we also have hashtag something Scotland from Edward Morris. So
Alex hates Scotland.
Let's get off of that. Let's not.
Hashtag Alex hates Scotland. Get in there, even if Jordan doesn't choose it.
Okay.
Let's get away from it.
Well, if you want to choose, you include that. You're more than welcome to. It's not the official
also,
hashtag.
Show Frightened Rabbit some love.
You're not welcome to. You're not.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this edition of the Happy Hour. Again, we're going to be live on Tuesday doing the Big Brother OTT live show on Rob as a podcast. So that should be lots of fun. Eric Stein, Jean Marie, Adam Pock, Glenn Garcia will all be there with us. So that'll be a fun night. Again, tickets are still available. robiswebsite.com/BBOTTLive. In terms of Wednesday, the four of us are still going to be in New York. So there is an eviction that night. But we are probably, we are not going to be around while the eviction happens because we're going to be at the live Survivor Know-It-Alls that Rob is doing. So we are either going to record a podcast during the day beforehand to kind of preview and just quickly talk about who's going to potentially go home, that kind of stuff, or we're going to
4 a.m. Periscope.
Or 4 a.m. Periscope, and we're going to do it at 4 in the morning. I personally would rather do it during the day because who knows what condition Alex Kidwell and I will be in at that point.
Oh, no, that would be glorious,
the
though.
The best of conditions.
I feel like we
obviously
have to do that. Like,
okay, well, we will. The four of us
so
will.
If
discuss.
We do Periscope, what's your Periscope, just to be clear?
So you can find my Periscope by following me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar.
Okay.
Another thing, too, I mean, I'm going to be Snapchatting a lot of this whole trip. So if you want to see some behind the scenes stuff, if you want to follow me on Snapchat or my check out my Instagram stories, I think I'm going to try the Instagram stories this week for the first time. It's just Jordan Parhar and everything. So
yes. And if you want to follow me on Snapchat, it's just like my Twitter, one lucky gay, one spelled out, and come follow me.
Okay. And then Taryn and Alex, your guys' Snapchat for people if they want to follow you.
Yeah, I was stupid. I didn't, I went with AKidwell87 because I wasn't smart.
Okay, so AKidwell87 for Alex on Snap, and Taryn, do you want to share your Snapchat or no? Do you want to keep that private?
I think it's Armstrong Taryn. It might be Taryn Armstrong.
He doesn't Snapchat.
But
he'll be on my Snapchat.
What you should do, we are going to try to potentially stream a game of Mario Party live in New York on Twitch. So if you want, I'm not totally like finished on all the details yet, but if you want to keep apprised of that, that's not the right word.
Apprised? Sound like me.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was. You know, the rope is, your circuits are getting shorted, Taryn.
If you want to keep yourself updated on that situation, you can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I will tweet out the Twitch stream that you can watch if you are interested in watching a bunch of crazy idiots play Mario Party at like 2 a.m. So
if this happens, it's going to be amazing. So please, check that out on Taryn's Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn. I'm sure we'll all be retweeting it. Brent mentioned he's at One Lucky Gay on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Kidwell, and I am at Jordan Parhar. So definitely stay tuned for that and any Periscopes and other random stuff that happens this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're all together. Lots of shenanigans happen when you get the whole LFC together. And, you know, it's funny. The last time we were all together, the LFC name had not been coined yet. So so there you go. You guys have an official name now. We're all going to be hanging out. Maybe we should get t-shirts. That would be cool. Or maybe we could get like bootleg t-shirts. Like I don't know if someone could make like just a rip-off LFC t-shirt. Or we should just get isn't it Liverpool? Alex, the football club.
Yeah, LFC is the Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah. So why don't we just get Liverpool jerseys? I think that would be kind of like a fun little thing. So,
Antonio Mazzara is a big Liverpool fan. I'm sure he can tell us where to go.
Okay, and he'll tell us who's good. So we can do that. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this edition of the Happy Hour. Always appreciate you guys checking the show out, and we will be back with you on Tuesday and again with you on Wednesday. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Wagemont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag basic biscuit. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, we're Happy Hour. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.